From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in continued Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns-Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy. I, too, make nice games. For this week's episode, it's part two of a roundtable topic, but it's just too much, so now it's a special. Deal with it. Address your letters to Ellen. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start.
I told you it needed a comma, Mark.
I was convinced. I was like, I don't need a comma. And listener, I didn't need that comma, but Ellen got in my head. No. The whole point is that Ellen was like, I want to talk about cheating, but I don't know. It's kind of a big topic. And we're like, All right, I guess we could still fit it in a thing. And then We kind of like, well, if not, we'll do a part two. And here we are.
Part two.
It's a part two.
Part two.
We're going to spend the whole episode just finishing what we started.
Yeah.
Ellen, you have lots of notes.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at any of them yet.
Kind of a lot of notes.
Steven says there are myriad and...
It's a lot of notes.
Listen, there's so many notes. Not only did I use the outline feature that comes with Google Docs, I also bolded the headings of each subsection.
Oh, it means business.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. But the most important thing, really, at the top.
Yeah.
It's time for Gex, y'all.
It's time for Gex.
Did y'all see the announcement? Gex is back. Let's go.
He's
is
so
it just
excited.
Me? I'm the only one excited.
No, I never played the Gex games, but I was always...
They're terrible.
Okay. Okay.
No, I was watching a stream. Someone was playing Gex 2. I forgot how bad the game is. I'm still so excited. It's basically just you play as a gecko who just wisecracks the whole time. And what's really great about this game is he wisecracks the same line, like the same three lines, like... Each minute.
What's really great about this game?
Look, I don't know what it is that draws me to games that aren't good, but
jank.
Yeah, that's what it is.
There's a whole episode about this.
You're right. I still didn't figure out what exactly jank meant, but I'm just really excited for this.
You know it when you see it.
It's gonna have Gex 1, Gex 2, Gex 3, I think.
Oh, it's like a Gex package.
It's a Gex package.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So time for Gex.
There's no new Gex. It's just old
no,
Gex.
No, I hope they make a new Gex. I don't actually think they could pull. I want them to pull off a new Gex, but it'd be really hard to pull off a new Gex.
Because it would have to be bad?
Well.
Jank. It has to be jank.
It has to be jank. But specifically, like, Gex is, like, dated in old pop culture references in a way that you can't really pull off now because pop culture changes every week. So,
but isn't the whole point of it? Oh, you mean it's inextricably tied to Gex.
Yes.
So you can't just make new references.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like all of those references are super dated.
Oh,
yeah. They were already dated.
Well, Steven, you're in your 30s now, and when you enter your 30s, you start to realize that media begins to be produced for you to remember when you were a
teenager. Yep, that's happening. That is happening.
And so it doesn't really have to be updated.
Yeah, okay. No,
here's what you do. You have it be generation specific, and you just have it go out to ChatGPT, and you say, please generate silly, stupid joke for Xennial or whatever.
It won't get the cheese right.
Yeah, that's a different kind of bad.
Yeah, I wasn't serious.
I think the ideal thing for this is you buy it and then put it on a shelf.
Yep.
You don't need to play these.
I will be playing it.
You know what I want to do?
I will let listeners know.
I'm actually quite curious.
I want to get you a little Gex plushie that you can stick in amongst the Kirby's. I almost said Furbies, but that'd be funny too.
I would like that.
Just hidden amongst the
just one tiny
rolling waves of pink.
I'll like write out some chat boxes so he can have really crappy catchphrases. It'll be so great.
Steven's a writer now.
That's true.
It's true.
Listeners, last week's episode.
Okay, that was the main. This is the main important news. Ellen, you have some news on here too, right?
There's nothing on Amazon when I search for Gex plushie. Okay,
that's a shame.
Yeah, so I was on vacation. I took all of last week off, mostly staycation. Did some plant stuff. I rode my bike a ton. I was so sore. Fell on my bike because I got like those clip pedals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a mistake.
No, I go so fast now. I go so fast. I don't go very fast, but I went a lot faster than before.
Yeah.
And I biked all over. I like biked to the DMV, you guys.
Oh.
Got really bruised when I fell over. But I only fell over the once.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting the hang of it and it's really fun. I'm really enjoying my bike.
Nice.
And then the end of my vacation went with my husband and all of his, like pretty much his whole mess of siblings and their kids to Wisconsin Dells, which is like this big water park central bonanza. It's
like along the highway between major cities in Minnesota and Wisconsin.
It's precisely between like the Twin Cities and Chicago.
Yeah.
And gets traffic from both. And would super not be the kind of place I would go to by myself or like with Eric. It would not be the kind of vacation destination that we would choose.
Yeah.
But when you've got like 6 and 7 year old nephews and two year old, like it's perfect for family stuff because it's all handled for you. There's tons of stuff for the kids to do. It was the first night we were there, the following morning, one of my nephews woke me up at 4:30 in the morning. His mosquito bites itched, but also I think he was just super excited to be at the water park.
Yeah.
But nothing was open yet, so we just like wandered the halls of the hotel for like half an hour and like pretended to dodge spies that were coming, you know, looking at us through the window and protecting his endangered rainbow snake. This is all nice. Partly a story that he came up with, and I just had a really good time with it. And then the following day, they slept until like 9 a.m., which is like unheard of. So we hit it really hard, and it was really fun. It was kind of good to do that. Went on some water slides. It's fun. Played the arcade.
Sounds nice.
And then on the way back, I quit the horse game.
About time.
Yeah. It's just like, okay.
Back to dragons?
No, no. Although I did introduce nephew to dragons.
Oh no! Why would you do that?
Because it's a cool game.
Okay.
And he doesn't get a lot of access to games.
No. Oh, okay.
Because he's still working on like processing frustration.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I also think that's good. Then if he gets a little practice with frustration when it's special, I get to play on Auntie's phone time.
Yeah. Okay.
He's getting better at that, and.
Did you just like see all the names and you're like, I'm done? Or was there one repeat and you're like, that's it?
There have been so many good names. Still great. I have like another like cache of screenshots on my phone that I want to share with you at some point because they had also really good names. Yeah. I feel like that somehow the names have been getting better, like, and more clever. Anyway, I just realized like they just got sick of the grind and probably spent too much money on it.
Oh, no.
I just wasn't getting new stuff fast enough.
You have like a sort of a special talent that you can get off the crazy train of a free-to-play game and just move on with your life without a lot of drama, it seems. Where people, that's something that those games are designed to prevent you from doing.
Yeah.
And you're very good at being like, yeah, I'll put a little money into this and then I'll just be done eventually. Like, that seems to be like very hard for most people.
I think a little money is a relative thing.
Yeah, well, that's
you
true.
Know, I probably, like, I actually looked. I looked at my play, my Google Play stuff because I've been playing this on mobile. There's a desktop version too. But I looked at it and I'm like, oh, I've spent like $60 on this game.
Oh, okay, not good.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, I always think about the time, like the money that I spend in proportion to the time that I spend in the game.
Yeah.
I also spent a lot of time in the game, so it didn't feel like it was an unfair amount.
Yeah, but that's how a lot of people rationalize it too.
Well, but the reason that it made me quit is that you can see the curve, you know, like there's no way that was ever slowing down, and.
Yeah.
There was more story to be had in the game, and certainly like I could be a better competitor if I played more, but the amount of progress I would make
see ahead of you
a very steep curve.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in that. I'm not an optimizer. I'm a satisficer, and I got satisficed, so we're done with the game.
All right.
And that's fine, because I think another reason that it hooked me wasn't just the game mechanics, but I found the whole system really fascinating to like the fact that it was so hooked me so good was just an interesting thing to observe in myself, and like being able to then go back and reflect on that and like think about the different systems at play, you know, I think will give me some insight into how to not do that. Or like how to do it in a way that is fair, because it didn't feel unfair, it just felt unworth, if that makes sense.
We've had this conversation in a whole episode before, but it does set up a universe where it defines its own rules, and that includes its rules of value, and so you have to really like you have to remember to think about what the actual value is.
Right.
And not the value that it presents to you in a very convincing world. Because you are predisposed to accept, you know, immerse yourself in the world where these things have value. And when they say that real world things have value, then your brain is just hijacked.
Yeah.
And it is a special talent to be able to step away from that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I'm not sure if I can bring that talent to bear all the time, but it definitely helps to be like, okay, but yeah, I could continue to spend money at the rate that I've been spending now, and I'll spend a lot of money and maybe I'll have fun. But like, what am I actually at this point now? Like, what will that gaming experience look like? And it's like, it's just going to look like more of the same.
Right.
I didn't want to, you know, I've got a limited amount of free time. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity cost is I don't play something that looks really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that I want to play.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Or read a book, you know, which I've got to read a book because I have an episode about it coming up. I've been like planning this episode for like a year and then just keep kicking it off.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. I think getting, honestly, weirdly enough, I think getting on the bike a lot last week helped.
Yeah.
It's like, can't play game while on bike. I mean, technically, I can like start the game. Like,
well, then you'd be training over a horse.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah. I would fall over more often if I were trying to play the game on a bike. Yeah, ouch.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm now in the grinding phase of Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm just collecting things and upgrading armor and stuff. And I don't even like doing that in games, but it's very much hooked me as like an activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a way that feels very much like a mobile game. Mm-hmm. It's not asking me to pay anything, which is nice, but that doesn't make it any worse of a system.
Yeah.
I'm souring on the game.
Oh.
The more time I spend with it, the less I enjoy it.
Why don't you just...
Yeah, be done.
Because I'm not Ellen. Like,
yeah, okay, fair enough.
Get on your bike more.
Because it's, I mean, it's still like, I'm still pleased to play it. It's not, you know what I mean? I'm speaking sort of more broadly.
Yeah.
I have one temple left and then I can go to the end and I'm doing that thing where I'm going to do everything I want to do and then I'll finish the game.
Yeah.
But like, I don't have any framework as when to recognize... Right.
Sure. I get it. In like the game is designed, they put a bunch of content in it because I don't think they intend for everyone to see it. Right.
I don't know. I mean, okay. Part of me is we talk about the Nintendo Magic, whatever. But part of me is like, it's a very efficiently designed game. But I don't actually know how much they thought about stuff like that. Like, people just loved Breath of the Wild, so, like, they didn't probably have to do a ton of thinking about, well, we'll start from there and we'll add a whole underground and a bunch of stuff, and it'll be great, and it is great. Mm-hmm. But, like, I actually don't think there's that much more to the design than that.
Right, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, Breath of the Wild was the same way. Like, it had a bunch of stuff in there. They don't inspect... There will be people who will get all 100 or all 900.
Right, but they leave that entirely to the psychology of the player.
Yes.
Rather than... having any foot on the scale,
I guess that's all
in terms of what they want the player to do.
Right.
Which is like, yeah, fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But it does mean that like I definitely would enjoy the game a lot more if, you know, if it was just easier to walk away from some of these checklist things.
Sure.
Which it is in some ways, but I don't know, it's weird. I just the more time I spend with it, the more I'm just like I'm getting into that loop, which it's easy.
Yeah.
Rather than making any progress, I'm just collecting now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I was really hoping the game wouldn't, because Breath of the Wild did not do that to me. Mm. Like I did all the shrines and I did all of the a lot of things, but I was very happy to not do a lot of the other things.
Sure.
And I never felt sucked into that.
Yeah.
But there's so much more of it in Tears of the Kingdom that you kind of have to dabble in all of it to see. And then you do get sort of sucked into a couple of them.
Yeah.
And then you end up just having a much bigger grocery list than you did in Breath of the Wild.
Sure.
And so I think that is a flaw.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm very much in it, so my opinion is very much based on what I'm doing with it now.
That's
so.
Fair.
Yeah, well, I would like to talk about grind at some point as a topic. So,
grind part two.
Was there grind part one?
No, I don't.
He's trying to do a transition.
Yeah, it just seemed on theme.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about one of these big four bullet points under meta.
We talked about Gex.
Under that, there's Ellen was on vacation,
right.
Ellen quit the horse game, and we had a power outage.
Yeah, so the office here had a power outage, and the whole clubhouse went out.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, if that doesn't get fixed by the time we record, what are we going to do? So I tore up the whole clubhouse and rerouted all the power to the outlets that were still working, and then they fixed it. So I'm like, oh, I got to pull this back together. So I ended up doing a little bit of remodeling in here.
Yeah,
I did some
really
wire
nice.
Management. Yeah. Some things I've been sort of meaning to do because, Ellen, you're over here against the wall. You're, like, tripping on a lot of the wires that are running through this place. Because it's like I designed this space to do a lot of things and be very versatile. Mm-hmm. It mostly is just our recording studio.
Yeah.
But it also is a video conference room and can serve as a meeting room. Mm-hmm. And it serves as a gameplay room when we do playtest here.
Yeah.
And so you can hook up a laptop to the TV without needing to like walk up to the TV and fiddle with cables. It's all routed through. It's a nice, elegant setup, but when most of the time we just use it for the podcast, it's okay if it gets a little bit messy in here.
Yeah.
And so me making it even more messy was the excuse to finally tidy it up a little bit better.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Yeah. It does.
But yeah, the I was here at like 3 a.m. working on something.
Boy.
And then the power just blew, and my computer has a battery backup that it... The computer, it's the most expensive one you can buy, and it lasts me like 3 minutes.
Oh.
Because my desktop is like a beast, and so I have that much time to save everything I'm doing and close, which I did. But then I was like, well, now what do I do? It's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah.
So that was kind of rough. Yeah. But all better now. Yeah, it was just some bad wiring when contractors came in and put in new outlets in this space when we moved in. There was one, they just didn't twist the wires enough, and so when there was power running through it, it heats up.
Yeah.
And just eventually it came loose.
Doesn't seem safe.
I mean, it was all inside a junction box, so
yeah, all right.
I mean, it was fine. An electrician came through and was like, you might be running too much amps through the breaker, and like, we can't find the breaker these outlets are on. And because there wasn't one.
Yeah. Huh.
It was just a wire in the ceiling.
Yeah.
That was loose. And I'm like, is this gonna be a problem? He's like, no, I got it good. This will never happen again.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I'm like, cool. Okay, great.
Great.
So a little bit of drama, but all solved now.
So it's nice when a problem gets solved permanently.
Uh-huh.
There is a type of problem that just keeps coming up over and over again.
Oh, yeah?
And that's cheating. In games.
Sure. Okay. So,
it's okay. It's a transition.
I tried.
You did.
I could see you winding up for it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, this is going somewhere.
Just, all right.
I you try.
Yeah.
You try.
Well, we're here now, so let's talk about it.
Yes.
Okay, so part one, which was episode 310.
Yep.
We will link to it in the show notes for ease.
Previously
on cheating. Actually, that sounds like some sort of like TLC show or something. It probably is a show. Not that type. Although that did come up when I was trying to research for this episode. I'm like,
just Googled cheating.
Cheating in games. And then it would be like some stupid game show or I don't know.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay.
No. Fix your algorithm, Google. It's not what I'm interested in. There was also like one of the top Google posts was like, are gamers more likely to cheat on their spouses? I'm like, what?
All right.
Who Googles that? Anyway.
They're not leaving their homes.
Well, probably gamer spouses.
I guess gamer spouses.
Dang. Good point.
Like, Google, you don't know. Anyway. So yeah, in part one, which was the second half of episode 310, maybe not second half, but second
keep
part
of everybody.
Yeah,
one of those.
We kind of went through some examples of gameplay that like could be considered cheating.
Yes. Yeah, you gave us like a little quiz kind of like, is this cheating? Is this not? It was a good conversation.
It was like a debate really. It was like we took each example one by one and kind of analyzed it and came down to it. And so I think, we asked, if you look up solutions to a puzzle, is that cheating? It only affects your game. And
right.
And I think what we kind of like, we compared that to like some examples of cheating that are just like so clearly cheating, like aimbots, So I think we also talked a little bit about why people cheat at games.
A little bit.
I think we talked about like, ego for one, some other things like attention within a community, if you're gonna or like I guess money, you're gonna spin up a special Minecraft server and mod the specific values of certain drops and then make millions on YouTube.
I don't know why, but I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So that I think those are some things that maybe came up during that conversation. Some new insight on this that I want to just bring up at this early point, because this was really interesting, that I think something I didn't really realize is just how complex and I think sophisticated that these communities of cheaters are. It's not just like one person acting alone. Like they're working with a community and within a community and as part of a community that kind of works in opposition to whatever anti-cheat
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, to whatever anti-cheat like protocols and processes and tools are in place for a given game.
It's like the it's kind of like the DRM stuff where like there's a group that breaks the DRM, then the DRM people have to unbreak it. Yep. And then it's like a war, I guess, almost.
It's like a cat. We'll come back to that because I think that's probably where we'll come back to at the end of the episode. But what was really interesting, and this came up in one of the GDC talks that I watched, I think it was about DayZ. But they, like, these communities frame the anti-cheat systems as, like, the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know? And so then there's this narrative or this myth of, like, Valve anti-cheat as the big baddie. And then the community bands together around that to beat the big baddie. Right. It's almost like a secondary game.
And there's a real easy way to justify that in your mind because a lot of these tools are incredibly invasive pieces of software.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, if you care about real things in the world, you look at that and you go, oh my, that is, why would anyone allow that to be installed on their machine?
Yeah.
It has huge privacy implications. It worms its way into the kernel of your system. It's a security flaw, introduces security flaws. And at the same time, what it's trying to do is kind of a noble goal in a way, right?
Yeah.
And so I could totally see a community of people having plenty of excuses that maybe are apart from maybe the real reason why they're against it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think and that's kind of where I want to go into this part two is basically like, okay, you know, if we're thinking of anti-cheat, if some anti-cheat software and tools are invasive and there is potentially a narrative that one could easily step into where the cheaters and the hackers are the good guys, maybe that's the case in some instances, but one thing that I didn't really think about until I just researched more for this episode was that cheating is also can be really related to other antisocial gaming behavior and beyond. So not just like, I mean, there's harassment and hate speech within a gaming community around a game specifically. Then there's like vandalism of the game itself and griefing where, you know, people are actively trying to make the experience of another player bad.
Yeah.
I think there's some overlap between those behaviors. You know, creating an exploit may not be cheating, but the exploit, you know, you can create an exploit and you may not use it to cheat. Or maybe you use it to cheat and that's it. You just want to get to the top of the leaderboard. Mm. But that exploit that you created and then posted about or are charging for, because that's a thing, that exploit might be used by others to gain unfair advantage on some other part of the game or be used to troll other players, right? So maybe it was created just to, you know, climb the ranks, but it ends up being used for something a lot shittier.
Yeah.
Sorry for the bleep, Steven. I just, it needs to be said.
Yeah, it's fine.
Anyway. So I think that kind of got back to some of the things about like how these things can kind of like overlap. So this DayZ video, which we'll link into the show notes, was from the GDC a while ago. I think that it was a while ago, like 2015 maybe even, if I remember correctly. You know, people are using hacks not necessarily to improve their own play experience, but they were like using explosions and they had unlimited explosions or grenades or something like that. And they were just using it to troll other players for their Twitch stream.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it was like funny for their viewers to watch and they were getting higher viewer counts by using these exploits in the game. But the people on the other side of the screen, they didn't consent to that. You know, they're just trying to play the game. And that's part of what makes it funny to the viewers.
Yeah.
Right. Is the unsuspecting nature of the other people that are in that game. But it's crappy. It's bad. I think the other thing that's something to think about a little bit more is that sometimes cheaters who get caught and banned, they retaliate, right? So they go after the devs.
Oh, yeah.
On social.
Yep.
And make someone else's life miserable because they got caught. Super lame. And I think one other thing, this is kind of the overlap at a different angle, is that I think some anti-cheat tools and strategies can be similar to like anti-vandalism, anti-harassment strategies. Like one, for example, is engaging with the community. And we'll get into that in more depth later. But
That's how you report if you see somebody who like is clearly aimbotting or whatever. So you report them in the same way you would if somebody were to use a slur against you or something, right?
So
Which part of that makes me very uncomfortable because it puts those things on the same level. And like they can have this similar impact on people.
Yeah.
But they are very different. Like ruining the integrity of the game is very different from, you know, outright harassment.
Right, right.
Now ruining the integrity of the game in service of harassment. So there's a blurry, it's a blurry line.
Yeah, but I see. Yeah.
But it does make me sort of uncomfortable how those things, because a lot of times gamers talk about like reporting in terms, they think of the gameplay exploits first, and then, but then there's also sort of harassment and stuff, and that's all part of the same ball of wax.
Yeah.
And then you tend to think about it clinically, and that kind of, I don't know, it just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I definitely see it, like, from a user experience perspective, you want there to be one reporting input.
Right, so yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
When you are ready to report, you're usually, like, emotionally charged. And so you're not, you don't want to have to think through, oh, right, here, I calm down, think about where it is. You want to be able to just go right to it.
Yeah.
And so I think it makes sense from a UX perspective that there's one input. And also from a behind the scenes process perspective, it might make sense that there's more than one input. But, you know, you can get that user input from one place on your screen. And then depending on the option that they select, that data might go in at several different places.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, everyone, if everyone knows where to go to report a problem, it's there.
Right. I guess that's what I mean is like is putting it all together as a they're all types of problems rather than two separate things.
Yeah.
But you're totally right. I mean, I don't have a solution. Like if you separate it out, either it becomes harder to use or becomes underused or whatever.
It's trade-offs.
But yeah, I don't think people think about those trade-offs very often because it's so obvious what the trade-offs are to make it sort of a different UX, but you have to sort of train a community to think about these things differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's ultimately, I mean, that's kind of my big sort of theoretical cure-all to a lot of this stuff is like you can't just make tools, you can't just make rules, you have to foster a community where those things are not as vital to the success of your community, right? If those are required just for everyone to get through the day, then you have failed, even if those tools are great and even if they work.
Yeah.
Right? If you need them, then that's a sign of trouble. But that's my big soapbox take on it
with respect to cheating or harassment in general,
all of it. Like the motivations for people to cheat are that we care too much about winning, and so okay, well then we should make you care less about winning. Well then the game's not as fun, and then like, well that's just a compromise developers are not willing to make.
So like I agree with that to some extent, but I do think that I don't know, I think people can be terrible, and I don't think that
you mean they're allowed to.
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
And so I think that people, because they can do stuff, they will do stuff. And if there's nothing in place to, if there's nothing in place for people to at least feel comfortable using as a tool to help themselves.
Oh yeah,
against that
you
kind
can't.
Of stuff.
You need those.
Yeah,
they need to exist. Certainly. Exactly. I just mean if you come dependent on them or otherwise I think it'll collapse.
Yes.
But what I mean when you say like people can be terrible, I think we should be making games where people can be terrible, but they are not rewarded in the game for it.
Sure.
And if that means you have to change the game.
Yeah. Then, no. You know. And that I agree with.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's so hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not an easy ask. And I don't pretend that it is.
Yeah.
But I think people are willing to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? So that was kind of what I want to talk about, just like an intersection between other antisocial gaming behavior.
Yeah.
There's more to that story. And that kind of comes in this next section. So I think there's some really clever things that different games have done over time to like shame cheaters or punish them in some ways. From like deleting your save file, or I think it was Banjo-Kazooie, like the witch laughs at you and deletes your file. Goodbye. And then like I think Guild Wars 2, I can't remember which one, they like put you into like a court of other players, and the character yells at you for cheating. Anyway, it's like there's all sorts of fun stuff that that game developers have done to cheaters to punish them. I think that's pretty clever. I think also gotta ask the question, right, when you're thinking about what constitutes cheating in my game, or what do I want to consider as cheating in my game, how am I going to catch those people, and then what do I want to have happen to them?
Yeah,
right. So for me, there's just way more to cheating than I thought. Like when I went into this research thinking about, okay, well, what does cheating look like these days? Like, I don't play lots of online competitive games because I'm not really competitive, and I don't have a lot of time to dedicate to get good.
Oh yeah.
You know? So it's like if I don't feel like I'm gonna be competitive, then I don't really get a lot of fun. I don't derive, if I'm not gonna be competitive and it's not gonna be like a close match, right. If I'm just gonna get steamrolled over and over again, there's no point in playing it.
That's why some of this is very sort of just theoretical for me. Because I think about like, I mean, I would love for it to be a universe where I could just like have like four or five games that I could play online, but they have to be hobbies for you to get any good. So if a bunch of people cheat, how am I going to know? They're all going to beat me anyway.
Right, exactly.
So it seems like, what do I care if people cheat?
Right. Like, I'm still going to suck.
Yeah.
They'll be so much better by so much more. but yeah, I guess the question for me after this research is like, okay, maybe the consequences probably have to match the degree to which they're breaking the rules, right? Like if someone's just using a cheat for themselves, if they're just, you know, and they did that for a game that they have and it's a one player game and it's like a single player game, they're just modding it or something like that, that's whatever.
Yeah.
If they're using a cheat to like win on the leaderboards and get away with it and get all the accolades without, you know, coming clean on how they got there, then that's a problem. And then there's like, okay, sometimes people are creating, there's a lot of money involved in this.
Yes.
Creating hacks for the game and then selling it.
Yeah, that's true.
Guys, I even found hacks for sale for the horse game.
That actually doesn't surprise me that much.
And right? is that where your $60 went?
No.
Okay, good. Just checking.
No. No, because these hacks, I think you pay for the hack, but then it gives you unlimited gold in the game.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I have a take on that, which is I don't know that that's wrong.
Right. Now, that's an interesting question, right? Because it's like if the game design is predatory to begin with, then are you not like, is it a problem that you're kind of doing Robin Hood here?
The game is effectively single player anyways, right? Like you don't.
No, there are leaderboards.
Well, that's aside the thing. From the
there are a lot of single player games with leaderboards. Yeah. And so it becomes more of interest to the developer to keep those untainted.
But also,
from a player's perspective, if I'm a player and I'm going to cheat, or I'm going to pay for a tool for a cheat, and I know in my heart it's not hurting anybody else, mm-hmm. I have a really hard time accepting criticism for that behavior. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And so, but then even if it does ruin the leaderboards for everybody, like,
well, also if you see a score that's like 5,672 or whatever, and you know that's unattainable, most people got 99, like. You know that's fake. You just don't
always
count it.
Know.
Like, yeah, you don't always know. They're also not always that specific. But like, as far as you're concerned, if it's something like that, it doesn't really matter.
Right. Well, and we're not talking about that.
Because I guess I remember like in the 360, like people would cheat on leaderboards all the time, and they'd have ridiculous scores.
Yeah. And they would do it usually through just like the sort of speedrun style exploits.
Yeah. Right? Well, no, not sometimes it would just be cheats, and you could tell.
Okay.
I mean, not all the time, but a lot of times you could just tell. And then you're just like, well, okay, I just won't count that as a thing I'm going for. I don't really care too much for leaderboards, frankly, anyways, because that's too much effort.
For example, though, I mean, this is not for me defending my $60. Like, I spent that money. I'll own that.
Yeah.
I got some really cool looking horses, y'all.
Sure.
And they went fast on the tiny screen.
Uh-huh.
She's reevaluating it in real time.
But like, so I spent actual money there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, maybe I went instead. Someone else went out there and went to this website and.
So they cheated you is what you're saying.
Well, is that.
It does make you feel bad a little bit.
I don't really care.
Okay.
I mean, like.
But theoretically, it could potentially make someone feel
bad. I don't know. Is it a dynamic that people should care about?
Oh, that's rough because the paying is part of the game mechanics.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's a real, I mean, this is already like, you know, a slow boat to hell. Like,
just, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that in that one game, like in that particular example,
mm-hmm.
Spending currency, the in-game currency that you can buy with real money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you spend the in-game currency that you can buy with real money, but you don't have to buy with real money, then it allows you to accelerate the progression and the progression of your stable of racers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Which then enables you to get other in-game currency, which you can buy on items, which helps you accelerate further. Right.
Right.
So
yeah.
if you're spending the currency that you can buy with real money, then you are definitely speeding up your gameplay
right.
experience, which is the whole thing. Like if you don't spend any real money on that currency, then
it just takes forever for you to get anywhere.
Excruciatingly slow. Yes, which is part right. of the design. Part of the,
That's
part
how
of the design.
Right. And the difference between like, you know, the item duplication glitch in Zelda mm-hmm. is that the designers want you to spend all that time.
Yes.
Whereas the designers of a free-to-play game want you to not want to spend
right.
that time.
Right. They yeah. It is tuned for you to spend money.
Right.
Right. It feels like a nice rate of progression when you are spending some cash.
Right. So paying a third party for a glitch that'll let you skip all of that for much less money is less of a cheat than using the item duplication glitch in Zelda.
I don't know. I mean, like, again, if you're in Zelda and it's a single player experience, like, I'd have a really difficult time, like, caring if someone... I mean, it depends. I don't know. If you're, like, speedrunning something or you're... I don't know. It actually gets much more complicated than I thought the topic would be.
I kind of think that it's morally way worse that that kind of a market exists where you can pay somebody to help you basically... beat a game that is intended by the developers to not be beatable.
Oh yeah, there's no one's sitting on a high
no.
horse here.
Yeah. No, but I guess like to me,
a high horse with a funny name.
But I guess to me, like the fact that that exists makes that form of cheating worse than the Zelda stuff.
Didn't you describe that as, or one of you described that as Robin Hood? Right.
I did. I mentioned it kind of tongue in cheek a moment ago.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's.
I mean, it kind of. It's just the fact that it exists. Like, I don't think that the people who are creating the cheats.
It's further damning the whole game, the whole economy of the
right.
system.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And so, as a result, I guess
which is not the fault of that specific developer because they themselves are also in a market where they have to make their games like that in order to survive. And blah blah blah. It's all.
It's just not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, but like, I don't know, it's kind of weird to like rank cheating.
It is.
Well, I guess it's not that weird. Like, you know, your example where your sister cheats at Monopoly, right? Like, I guess nobody was harmed, but I'd be frustrated, but like, nobody was harmed, right? So that's theoretically.
Well, but they didn't know
it
didn't hurt
still
them.
Working through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess that's
still
what
working through it in therapy, but. And
that's
expensive.
Like relatively mild. You allowing your nephew to win in Mario Kart, that's. You know, you did that because you were trying to help me.
I did that because I knew Eric wouldn't.
Oh. An amendment to the story. That's fun to know.
And he didn't. Anyway. Well, let's say
but, like, those are, like, mild cases of cheating, right? Like, in terms of, like, the whole moral harm that it could do, it does
to
none.
This topic does suffer from us taking games too seriously.
Yeah.
Right, which is that doesn't mean we should take them less seriously.
Sure,
but it does it takes us out of the proper frame of like of sort of moral correctness.
Yeah,
and then when we talk about free to play games, everything gets mixed up a little bit.
Yeah,
and then when it comes down to like, well, are you hurting anybody? Are you making the experience worse? But then also, if you beat them in a game, are you also not ruining their day? So like, you know, it's what is okay versus not okay, and then what responsibility is it of the player to maintain the rules of somebody else's game?
Yeah,
versus their own.
Right,
you know,
I guess that's what
themselves.
That's why it felt weird to like rank them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it's difficult. It's all contextual.
Right. All right. It's been a while since we've done this, but I'm asking you to send the podcast to a friend. Let them know that Nice Games Club exists. We're a cool podcast. We have a lot of episodes. And I think your friends will enjoy listening to the episodes.
Yeah, we ask people to join our Discord, mm-hmm. to give us some money. We ask people to do things sometimes.
Yes.
But we rarely ask them to spread the word.
Right.
When our own data suggests that's the best way for the show to grow.
Yeah.
And it can also be a way for you to make a closer game dev friend.
Mm-hmm.
Bond
mm-hmm.
over the show, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of reasons.
I mean, we are a cool podcast, so.
Yeah, we're the best.
Mm-hmm. We're also a resource, right? We've got a lot of cool episodes with a lot of cool people we've talked to about plenty of things.
So many cool people.
So, like, there's definitely going to be something that your friend is interested in.
Yeah, go ahead and just tell him, hey, Nice Games Club, great show. I listened to it. It's fun.
Yeah.
But also, maybe think about a recent episode and think, oh, that my friend would be interested in that topic.
Yeah.
And then give them that. And then, like, it's up to them to decide whether you don't need to advertise for us.
Yeah.
We're just asking to say, like, help your friend out if they got something that they might benefit from hearing about. Because
give them something new.
Yeah, because I think the show is eclectic enough that I think that we don't really have a average listener.
Yeah.
Like, you, all of you have a different experience and background and interests.
Right.
And what that means is we miss a lot of people. We just have to. It has to be true that there are people out there who would enjoy an episode or two and might even stick around for more.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to get those people that information is you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No, it's good.
All right, cool.
We are once again asking for your support.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another wrinkle.
Okay.
Oh, good.
One more.
So some of these shops that are, you know, hacking games and then selling cheats are connected to organized crime.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what if you're buying a cheat and in doing so, you're helping to fund a human trafficking operation?
And that, I don't know how much research you did into this, but a lot of that is because products that don't sell on an open market tend to, it's not that this is the type of thing that organized criminals love.
Right.
It's that this is the kind of thing they can sell because it's not something you'd want to, you would feel embarrassed to advertise it, even if it wasn't illegal. And I don't think it is, but it's not something you would be like really excited to sell on itch or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure if there are actually any confirmed. I should say that right now, and with like still fresh in our minds. I'm not sure if there are any cases where like these cheat shops have been connected to like human trafficking.
And how much of that is like the culture of it in terms of like they wear sunglasses to look cool? Like how much is it really like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's, you know.
There was like one story from a couple of years ago about a shop that was selling cheats, and they made enough money to buy a whole like garage of supercars, and it's like. And then some of them
and then they all formed a family and, went on spy missions.
and 11 movies later. They'll do that in the remake.
Yeah.
It'll be that. When they start remaking the series at the first movie, right after the 12th movie comes out.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway. Yep.
Well, there is some sense to it. I mean, sort of going against what I was saying earlier, like software exploits tend to be the purview of criminals, and so in a lot of ways, like black hat hackers, and so games are some of the most secured pieces of online infrastructure in the world, weirdly, and so that might be a little bit why that's connected as well. Is that's the people who can do that work.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of demand, and therefore there's going to be a supply.
Yeah,
you know, and
people put a lot of stock on their ranking in League of Legends or whatever it is.
It's totally wild, right?
Yeah. It's it's a lot.
Well, there's a Twitter thread going around right now, which is like, what is your most actual controversial game dev opinion?
Uh-huh.
And a bunch of people were like, AAA is too expensive. It's like, never
went
through
those.
Controversial, guys.
I know. Well, that's what happens
those
with these
tweets. Yeah.
And you know, you can't. I mean, I'm sure we're all guilty of having a not controversial thought when those things come up. But mine was like, leaderboards are morally wrong.
I saw that from you.
Yeah, because I like people care about that because it's put on a wall, and for other people to be happy about, and for people to compete over. Like, a game could be cutthroat, but then once it's over, game is over, man. Like, it's weird that we keep track.
Is it?
Yeah. It's really weird. It's really weird
to,
that we keep
from
track.
Game to game, I can see that.
Yeah.
Now I want to make like an anti-leaderboard, a game with like an anti-leaderboard that just like picks a random stat every random game and just says this is the board, and it puts like,
you know, that's literally how I designed Metro Nexus.
Yeah.
It gives you a ton of information and then it's gone.
Yeah, and it doesn't tell you what to care about most.
Yeah, yeah, it's like it gives you no framework. It's up to you entirely.
That's something I do like about Metro Nexus. Yeah. Like you just are the one who decides the victory condition.
Yep.
And my victory condition was
every. And because you don't agree with the person next to you, you cannot fight over it. You
disagree.
Not true.
Well, no, you fight over it in a way that is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't. Yeah. That's. I mean, I guess we're a little bit off topic, but like, I think it does. It doesn't motivate you to cheat because you don't get anything out of it.
Well, I
still disagree. But
like, I can cheat to win a game.
And
that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I become a cheater, like that's my, like that seems to be only someone who was interested in like the continuing rewards of that. And sure. if there just isn't that much reward.
I don't think that the reward, like, the rewards aren't necessarily you get a higher score on the leaderboards or you get silver rank instead of bronze rank in League of Legends or whatever it is. I think a lot sometimes the reward is just you mess with other players and you thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I don't think it's like a leaderboard.
The Twitch
thing.
Example you gave is a totally different thing. That is right. Essentially
in
just
an,
harassment.
In an even worse situation, well, I don't know if it's worse necessarily, but there's stream sniping where, like, you know, a streamer will just be playing a game online and then people will see that and they'll, like, follow that streamer, like, watch their stream and try to just focus on killing them the whole time, mm-hmm. which ruins the experience for everybody else who's watching the stream. And it's only the person who's getting satisfaction out of that is that one person.
Yeah.
Like that, I guess I'm saying that's worse because like more people are affected theoretically.
So there are other goals and rewards available to people.
Yeah.
But I still think the principal one is being rewarded in the game. Like that's still,
I think it is a fact.
Streaming was a mistake. Gamers are a mistake. Games are a mistake. All
right,
we can turtles all the way down.
Sure.
But, this is the last episode of the podcast.
I know. But I do think that like a big part of it and what has led to a lot of the rest of it and what makes all that in is because we care about that stuff.
I think that is a factor. Yeah. I just don't think it's the main factor. Mm. That's all. I agree. I think that, like, you know, having those rankings and stuff encourage people, especially if you get like a bunch additional awards aside from just like you're number one on this random little leaderboard that nobody care about.
But you know, like the tier you're in, right? It's because when you have millions of players, the top 10 is such rarefied air that it's not like you can't motivate people to be top 10 because it's impossible.
Right.
So you give them rankings, you give them tiers, you give them things just out of reach to strive for to make them care.
Right.
And that keeps them engaged and playing. Right. And again, I think that's a dangerous cycle.
There are 10 grades of horses.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But you're also right that getting rid of all of that, I mean, it's too late now. There's other things that I think are built on the culture that we've built around that. But you get rid of that, it won't solve it because there are now other avenues of reward for cheating and griefing and harassment.
I don't know. I think there will always – I think that there's a lot to be done in terms of design to preempt the problem. But ultimately, the reason that people cheat is the same reason that people play games to begin with, and that's just like giving dopamine to the monkey brain.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the
that's
same.
That's the turtle at the bottom.
That's the bottom turtle. Monkey brain needs dopamine.
Should have stopped that
needs
one.
That's some the neurotransmitters.
Turtles all the way down, and then one monkey.
So I mean, I think if for some like the industry is wildly swings to a place where there's just not a ton of like leaderboard-esque mechanics and everyone retrains their brain to get that dopamine hit off of something else.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fully cognizant that I'm never going to win this argument.
Mm. Right.
But you offer a way through it, which is that give you other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are lots of games that have other things.
Well,
You know, the sort of, I mean, I think a game like Fall Guys, which is a battle royale, the last one wins.
Yeah.
But that is not really what people play it for all the time. There's other rewards in that game, which is just a fun moment where you knock one person off the side of a thing in the middle of a match. Like that is really, really that people remember that more than they do remember getting number one.
Yeah.
And there's just so much more to experience like that, even though it's very much traditionally framed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the, like, it's not, you don't have to get rid of the desire to be first.
Well, And I don't think, I'm not arguing that you're arguing that. And I also am not arguing that leaderboards, not having leaderboards wouldn't help the problem. All right. Because I think it would help. In a lot of instances, but I think that like in that situation, specifically with Fall Guys, my brother really likes Fall Guys for some reason. I can't stand that game. It's not very fun.
I like how every time you bring him up, you're like he does a thing for some reason.
He's it's just so an weird. Enigma.
I don't understand.
Professional enigma, Charles McGregor.
But anyways, he likes that game, but he very much dislikes it when people are actively just like trying to grab you and preventing you from going forward, I guess. Uh-huh. He calls that griefing. To me, it's
that
like,
sounds like gameplay to me.
That's what I'm saying. It's just the game. And so I find that odd because that's part of the reason why I stopped playing it.
Yeah.
It's because, well, it, I don't know. I don't like the way that you move and stuff. But also, it was just like...
I stopped playing because I didn't like it.
Right. But also, I mean, but that was like, it just seemed like that was part of the game. So if somebody is like messing around and grabbing people and stuff, the game encourages that in a way that I don't necessarily think is problematic.
Because if you're someone who's really interested in like fair play,
yes,
then that can be very frustrating.
Right.
But I mean, the defense home, and I've not played a lot of Fall Guys, sure. So like maybe I'm just throwing this out into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you, and this is a rubber banding and Mario Kart, all sorts of things where like if you can lose for a dumb reason,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I think it is, you know, but then you do have to let go of the thing. Like, if only this were not, I wasn't randomly jostled next to this person who did a thing that didn't even help them that much. You
right.
know?
Exactly.
Like,
it just slows them
down. If you're frustrated by that, it's because you care too much about being number one.
Yes. And like Fall Guys to me doesn't even encourage that too much. Like, you want to get crowns, I guess, and get first place.
Yeah.
But like the game just allows you to play it. And it's like a playful attitude.
Yeah.
And it's not very serious.
Right. Some of it is stylistic.
Yeah.
And I think it can be very, that does go a long way, which is a little sad because it shouldn't be required. Like goofiness should not be required.
Yeah.
And I mean, Fortnite is goofy and people are still monsters in that game.
Yeah.
So it's not also a thing that guarantees you,
mm-hmm.
You know, people playing fair or playing nice.
Yeah.
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 I think I'm glad we talked about that because I think it's kind of a part of the last bold line I have. How bad is it? And do all devs have to worry about it? And I think the answer is no. All devs don't necessarily have to worry about it to equal amounts because the designing of your game may not be really lend itself to the kind of cheating we're talking about here.
Right.
Or the type of cheating that is rampant or that causes lots of drama.
Mm-hmm.
So Erdato did a survey in 2018. I got these statistics from a Forbes article. And Erdato, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing their name correctly, but they're an anti-cheat service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So their survey with self-reported data was that 37% of gamers confessed to cheating at some point. That was 3% cheat always, 9% cheat often, 13 sometimes.
Wait, how many always?
Three.
Okay.
3% always. I think usually it makes more sense to go the other way. 12% rarely.
Mm-hmm.
This is
13% sometimes, 9% often, and 3% always.
Is this in games that this service is included
multiplayer
in?
Multiplayer games, I imagine.
Yeah, I didn't look into that.
Yeah, I think that this is, I mean, not to completely dismiss it, but this is a company selling a service based on this number being high.
Yeah. Yeah. That being said, you know, they're probably. Yeah, and you can look into it. We'll link to it.
Well, it's probably more spin than it is lies, right? It's like these are probably the real numbers, but they're spinning it in a way that makes their service seem invaluable.
Yeah.
So it's still not, you still take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends, you know, those numbers become really different if you include only like Counter-Strike or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And Fortnite, and really different if you're like, did you ever cheat at Carcassonne?
Exactly, yeah.
And the answer is no, I barely know how to play. I've played it for like 4 times and I still don't get it. So how would I cheat? Not
get out of me. I'm on my way with that clipboard.
Yeah, anyway. But the bigger the player base, the more interest from cheaters and the greater the profit potential for hackers and cheat providers.
Yep.
Right? So the bigger that the secondary market is going to be.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks because like if you're an indie, you want to have a big hit, but then you also now have this potential problem that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Which is potentially really expensive. Like some of the talks that I was looking at, like people put huge amounts of their time for, you know, not when the game is launched. At that point, a ton of resources becomes more like diverted and focused on preventing cheating. And also a good chunk of the resources that are spent developing a game in the first place.
Right.
Y'all are, we're going to put the gamers on blast here. Y'all are complaining about games taking too long to come out. Stop cheating and they won't have to spend as much time developing the anti-cheat stuff in development. And they can focus on getting the content out.
I mean, woe is any indie developer who like wants to make a first-person shooter. Because if the game is big enough, then it becomes a problem. You could be like, well, it's not a bad problem to have. But then you'd spend all your time dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And if you falter, your audience will crater.
Yeah.
Right? Because, and you kind of can't blame them.
Right.
Right?
Right. Because the, you know, whatever narrative you want to put around cheating, I'm not going to argue with that. Like, that's not something I really want to dig into right now. We did it a little bit earlier about like, okay, how valid is the Robin Hood narrative?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it from the perspective of other players, they expect a certain experience. That's what they paid for, and that's why they're participating. And if you aren't abiding by the same rules that they are, then they're not getting what they expected.
Yeah, and it's a reasonable expectation
that
the systems are in place so that other people will play by the rules.
Yeah.
You kind of can't, as much as we all love everything to be curling, you kind of can't trust other players to not take an opportunity to cheat if it's available.
Yeah,
to them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's certainly not based on the percentages reported by your data. But yeah, I mean, like some of the other resources that I was looking into, I think there was one quote, I think it was from the DayZ talk, even just having a leaderboard is enough to make people seek out cheats.
Yeah.
For some people, even just having the ability to rank higher than another person is enough for them to
break the rules. And it's like human nature too. It's not someone being like, well, I'm going to cheat and like, because I'm like evil and don't really care about fairness.
Right,
yeah. Like they will justify it to themselves. Yeah. And either because they don't think it's that big a deal or because they think that it's like, if it weren't for all these other things, complaints that are imagined or real, I would rank. So I'm going to like solve that myself.
Yep.
If the devs weren't so lazy, they would have patched this hole.
Exactly. Like
that. Oh, I get so angry.
I got Steven going. Anybody says
developers are lazy, I cannot stand it.
Yep.
Woo. Anyway.
So, I mean, but yeah, some people even cheat when they're playing games with their friends, whether it's in good fun or just like because they're psychopaths. I don't know. But
I get in board games. I get very paranoid that I'm following the rules right. I love to read all the rules. I like to walk through it. I'm very much a table talk person.
Yeah.
And that slows things down, and I think it annoys people. So I get very nervous if I'm going to be like, if I messed up a count because I was trying to respect everybody's time and move things around.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, but now I'm cheating. But now if I say anything about it or try to fix it, like it's now wasting people's time again. I get so paranoid about it.
It's feels very Minnesotan.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't cheat at games.
Intentionally.
Officer.
I don't cheat at games. Officer. I'm not cheating. I'll walk a line if you need me to. Because I just don't care about winning. I really just care about like the experience of learning the game and playing it and trying to get better at it compared to myself. And sometimes other players provide metrics by which I can measure my own progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm playing around a table, like, I almost never win board games because I'm just, like, spacing out and looking at, you know, I'm having fun with other people. Mm-hmm. And it takes me a couple times to learn how to play a game where I can actually be competitive at it.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy, like, playing with people who have different play styles. Like, Eric, for example, this will not surprise you. You've played enough with him that you know, you probably get this. He loves understanding the rules at a deep level and then finding the weird twist.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he also likes really getting into the rules because he wants to understand them in a very highly precise way.
Yeah.
So that he can be like, well, wait a second. It didn't say you couldn't, blah, you know?
Yeah.
And that's fun sometimes as someone else playing
very diplomatically said.
Yeah. Well, it's backfired on him too. Cause like you do that in something like Small World and all of a sudden all the other players are like, haha, that's funny. We're going to gang up on you.
Yeah.
Doesn't say we can't. And he's like, why are you doing that? I'm just trying to play to win. And I'm like, well, sorry.
Also, sometimes like the second most obvious strategy is the best one. And you're looking for the fifth most obvious strategy to outfox everybody.
Yeah,
and then you're just getting trounced.
Yeah.
Just being trying to be too clever.
Yeah, that's me. Anyway. I don't know. I think for us who are not, you know, for us three who are not making AAA games.
Yeah.
There's a whole different wrinkle in the games that I make in terms of like getting credit for learning completion in like
oh
the
yeah
job.
That's a motivation to cheat for sure,
right?
Yeah,
especially if you have like contempt for the adjudicator, which is pretty common for like, you know, workplace or vocational games, right? People will be like, well, I know I have that,
or like I already know this stuff, you know? And you, to be fair, like a lot of online trainings are garbage and people probably do know that stuff, and sometimes it's just legally required for you to take the same stupid thing every year. And so, you know, you really do know that stuff. You're just legally required to certify again that you do. We have anti-cheat stuff in our platform that I will not talk about.
So Ellen, we've talked a lot and we're done now, right?
Yeah, this is it.
We've covered the topic completely.
Mark, there's a lot more.
Ellen, you promised.
We talked a lot.
This is a lot of interesting
that was supposed
stuff.
To solve the problem.
We talked a lot more about these three subheadings than I thought we would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We talk way more than I thought we would. So now we have
Ellen didn't count on us being as interesting as we are.
Yeah,
three,
it's
more.
Our own fault, really.
We have four more.
We show no evidence of it prior.
Right.
Can't blame her for assuming. Okay, well, what are we going to do about it?
I guess we do a part three.
Oh.
Ooh, stay tuned, folks. Part three coming soon.
Well, I mean, why not? We all record every 2 weeks.
True.
Don't yell at me.
Mark, I wasn't yelling.
Can you give listeners a little tease, maybe?
Sure. Okay, I've got some keywords here.
Okay.
Obfuscation.
Oh.
There's one for you. Okay, figure that out.
That's a big word.
VACnet.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
VACnet. Right. Overwatch.
That's just a game.
Ah, is it?
Oh.
I mean, yes. But... Okay, Mystery Live. Keep Mystery Live.
Yeah.
Paranoia.
Okay. All right.
What does she mean by that?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Oh no. Evolutionary.
What?
Okay, that's good.
This
enough.
Is a big word.
This is like when you'd say like next time on Mad Men.
Yeah. That?
Like AMC was like, all right, guys, we need to tease the next episode. Like, we don't want to tell them anything. Just give us a trailer. It doesn't have to say a lot. And it's just like it's just a bunch of words.
I told you it'd be just a bunch of words.
But it works. It makes you want to watch the next episode. And hopefully that's doing the same for you, listener. We'll get back to this in a future episode coming up real soon, right?
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, until then, that is our show. For notes on today's topic, check out our website, nicegames.club. You can visit us on Twitter and Mastodon at Nice Games Club, where Dale tweets and toots about game dev resources and proper named ranges. Okay. We like hearing from you, so tweet and toot back. Or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Tell us anything. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. But that's it for this week. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
We haven't done this one in a while, y'all, but we're asking you to tell your friends about the podcast.
You do have friends.
You do have friends. Yep. I believe it.
You're
a cool
guy.
You're a cool person.
Yeah.
You don't even need friends.
You don't.
You can talk to whoever.
Yeah. You actually, yes. You could just, tell a random person on the street, hey, have you heard of this podcast called Nice Games Club?
We won't ask you to do that.
Yeah, don't do that. No,
but it's an option.
It is a possibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, what is nice about... Oh, Ellen, you're excited about something.
Yeah, well, I mean, talking about podcasts could be how you make a friend.
Okay.
Oh.
Let's start over with this.
All right, fine.
I liked where it was going.
It wasn't moving.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.